Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
It is good to see you today. Hey, I was just thinking this weekend, you know how I had this moment of just being overwhelmed with what an amazing church Hope Church is? Not the building, but the people. Go ahead, give yourselves a hand. I'm telling you, we are just so blessed with so many amazing people that are in this family, this community. And I want to just thank specifically all of you who have just encouraged our staff and encouraged my heart over these last weeks. I hope that your heart is being encouraged too. And for those of you who have gotten a little squirrely, we love you too. How's that? I love the word squirrely. It's such a great word, right? Okay, anyways, man, I believe the Lord's just given me something that I'm excited to share with you today. And I actually believe that every single person that is here in the room today, you're here, you have come because you have a deep longing inside of you to love the Lord. Or else why would you be here today with a mask on, right? Those that are watching online, I believe that you have tuned in today and you have stuck with this today and watched because there is a longing, there is a desire in your heart to love the Lord. And the Lord has drawn us actually to this moment. How many are thankful that God's heart is drawing our heart, that he is leading us every single day, and he has led us to this moment that we're in right now? And regardless of how strong your love is today, regardless of how maybe weak your love is, that you feel like your love is weak today in this moment, there is a cry in your heart for more of him. There is a cry in all of our heart for more of him, that deep inside you, you know, you don't even know how you know this, but you know that inside of you, there is more of God to be had. And that deep inside of you, you know that you were created to actually to give him more than what you've already given him in your life. There is more of your heart that there is to give to him. Amen? Yeah. This morning, I want to talk about our love, and I want to talk about being wholehearted in our love for God. Wholehearted in our love for God. The passion in my heart is to see a church, our church, to see an army of lovers of God that are raised up, not just a Sunday morning attending crew, but a family and a people who wholeheartedly love and follow Jesus Christ, who grow into maturity in our love for him with every expression of our life. That because we love him and we enter more fully in love with him, that all of a sudden the entirety of our life expresses our love for God. It expresses our desire for him. And that out of that wholehearted love would flow the transformation of our lives, of our families, of our city. That out of that love for him, literally, there would be transformation that happens because we love him so much. How many want to grow and expand your love for the Lord? Yeah, you're here. I want to pray just before we get into the word. Would you just put your hands before you? And I just pray, God, even right now, that every single one that's listening online, that's here in the room today, that all of us, Father, I pray for an awakening of love today. I pray for a hunger for Jesus today. Would you pray with me, church, right now? Would you pray out loud with me, actually? I pray for a hunger and a stirring in our hearts. I pray that there would be an awakening in our hearts and there would be a reuniting of our focus and our desire for Jesus Christ. That above anything and everything else, God, that there would come, even today because of your word, an alignment. I pray for an alignment in our hearts where you are first and you are awaken us in such a way that nothing will ever be the same. And I pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Matthew 22, in this passage, Jesus gives one of the most significant statements in Scripture, we could say. In all of Scripture, we could actually say that he gives God's mission statement for every single person. He gives God's mission statement for the entire human race. And before we go to it this morning, I just want to ask you this. How many experience this in your life that in any given day, when you wake up in the morning, there are all kinds of things that are before you that you get to do, right? There are all kinds of things that call for your attention. There are all sorts of things maybe on your list of things you need to accomplish. And they're all important, right? We're all giving ourselves to important things. Any given day brings a whole different set of things that are demanding our attention. Everything's important. And some things are more important. Like all of you mamas at home with your kids, like you've got a lot of lists like that, things that need to get done. But really what's most important is keeping the children alive, right? I mean, you know what I mean? Like there's like, yeah, we got to have lunch. We got to have this. We got to do these things. But like keeping the kids alive is the most important thing. I think that's the case for all of us, that in any given day, there are things that are important. There are things that are more important. And then there's what's most important. Now, throughout the gospel, really throughout the entire Bible, Jesus says everything he says is important. Everything in scripture is important. But in Matthew 22, he lays out what is most important. And I want us to jump into that. The Pharisees in this place were questioning Jesus. And one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. That was the intention, was to test him. And he asked him this. He says in verse 36, he says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets." In other words, Jesus is saying everything hinges, everything hangs on these two things, on these two commands, and it's this. This is success. Jesus has given us the most accurate measurement in this moment of what success really looks like for any single person. It's the exact measurement of saying, hey, are you looking to be successful in your life? This is what success is. He says, loving God with all of who you are is the highest priority of life for every believer. It's the greatest vision. It's the greatest pursuit of all of our life. It's the highest purpose that we'll ever have in this life or in eternity. Nothing is of greater importance. Can I hear an amen? So many things in my life are important. So many things in your life are important. Family, so important. My friendships are so important. My marriage is so important. It's of great importance. Your places that he's given you influence in are of great importance. Your ministry, the ministry that he's given you, is so important. The things you put your hands to in any given day are so important. But he's saying, in the midst of all that's important, here's what's most important: loving him with everything. Loving him with everything. At the end of the day, this is what matters. At the end of the day, when the first priority is first, I don't know if you've experienced this in your life, but when the first priority is first, when first love is first, what happens then is that everything in life gets filtered and it gets ordered through that first love, and there comes a divine order, there comes a divine flow in my life. There comes a divine flow. It doesn't mean everything's great. It doesn't mean everything works out perfectly and smoothly. But there's an order when he is first. When the first love is first in my life, all of a sudden the other things begin to flow in place. And then we become people who love the Lord wholeheartedly. You know that we were made to love him wholeheartedly? We were not made to love him sort of half-heartedly or with a little bit of love here and a little bit of there. We were actually made to love him wholeheartedly. We were made to be those who radically turn from anything and everything that would hinder our hearts from fully expressing love. Whatever Jesus invites us to, and he's inviting us to in this commandment, whatever he commands us to, he also empowers us to. He also helps us to. He also gives us the grace to walk into. We know that in the kingdom, right, there is no end. There is no end to the kingdom. There is no limit to the kingdom. There is no ceiling on the kingdom of God. There's no ceiling. So there's no limit to the height or the depths of the love that we can walk in for God. We can have as much as we want of God. Turn to somebody next to you and say, you can have as much as you want. Come on, turn to him, do it. You can have as much as you want. We can go actually as far as we desire to go in God. We can literally step into as much as our hearts will open up to him for. We can love him as far as we want. We can go as far as we dare. I mean, I was thinking about this. Have you ever woke up in the morning and said, oh, I just want to see how much I can love the Lord today? That should not be a foreign idea to us. And yet so often that isn't the first thought in our minds, right? The first thought in our minds sometimes is like, let's check the news. Or like we wake up, we're like, oh, we got to do this, this, and this. What if the first thought in our day was, how far can I love him today? How far can I go with my heart? How much of my emotion and my heart and my affections can I give the Lord today? Can you imagine what would happen in us if that is the cry of our morning? Oh, God, how far can I love you today? I want to see how far I can love you with my whole heart. I want to suggest to you today, though, that this isn't the case for many. But it can be what we can walk into and step into, but it requires a positioning and it requires a posturing of our heart. Doesn't happen by chance. I believe that this moment that we are in time, in 2020, is a very significant moment to position our hearts before the Lord. I believe that this is a very significant moment, and I'm not just saying this as a reaction to all that's going on. This is not me saying, hey, guys, things are so bad, things are so rough out there, things are so horrible, we better get right with God and start loving him. That's not what I'm suggesting in this moment. And I know that there's a lot of times in calamity people turn to the Lord, but oftentimes if it isn't rooted in love, it will go right back to what it was. How many want this moment to cause your heart to love him that keeps increasing in love? Not just a shift and a change in a moment because there's disaster or, oh, we better love him because, you know, we want to avoid this or that. No, 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 no. This is a moment where our hearts are being called to fully awake, responding to the longing of a father who has actually always desired our hearts way before COVID. Way before the year 2020, he's always been longing for us. He's always been longing for all of our love. He's been always longing for all of our heart and our affections through all of our history. Do you know that when you were conceived, he actually dreamed, how much is that one going to love me? How much is that life going to be spent on loving and knowing me with their whole heart? He's always wanted the entirety of the heart of his people. Do you know that? We see it through all the Old Testament. We see it all through the New Testament that God has always wanted the entirety of the heart of his children. There's so many passages that speak to this, and we could look up these passages all day long. But I want us to turn to Joel chapter 2 this morning. And in this passage, there's so much in this, but there's just two verses that I feel like the Holy Spirit has highlighted that I want to dive into today. The prophet in Joel chapter 2 prophesies this in verse 12, and he says this. He says, yet even now declares the Lord. Now, how many know that when that's said, you better perk up your ears, right? Even now declares the Lord, turn to me with all your heart. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord, your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. How many are thankful that the Lord is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in love? Everything he does, do you realize this? Everything that God does, every word in this scripture, every word that proceeds from his mouth is rooted in love for his kids. Everything is filtered through his love. So there's this call from the prophet in this moment to turn to the Lord, to turn to the Lord wholeheartedly with all your heart. It says to turn and return to the Lord with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. These three things, fasting, weeping, and mourning, they speak to the issues of recognizing our need. They speak to that issue of recognizing our need. It comes against self-sufficiency and wandering. And it says, hey, I want you to position yourself through fasting and weeping and mourning so that you can recognize your need for the Lord. See, we don't fast to earn something. Remember in January, we did the 21 days of fasting. We weren't fasting to earn something from God. We were fasting to position ourselves for more of Him. We were fasting to position our hearts to turn and to love Him more fully, saying, God, I want to grow the capacity of my heart to love you more. This is very exciting. You don't look excited, but it is. It's so good. In crisis, Israel would tear their robes and they would tear their clothes in the midst of a disaster or a crisis, and they would put on sackcloth and they would cry out to God. There would be this outward appearance of humility. There would be this like outward turning to Him, we're tearing our clothes. We want you to see that we desire you, God. So this calamity, this thing will stop. Like, okay, here we go. Look at us, God. We're like tearing our clothes. We're doing this outward thing. We're doing the things we're supposed to do, but God was saying in this moment to the prophet, no, I don't want externals, I want your heart. I want your heart. Rend your heart, He says, not your garments. I love what the Message says. The Message says it like this. It says, change your life, not just your clothes. Change your life, not just your clothes. He's saying, I want your heart. I'm looking not just for words or performance. I'm not looking for all the outward stuff. I want to get inside your heart because I want you and I want all of you. See, He's always been wanting all of us. Did you know that? He's always been wanting the entirety of who we are. He's never been okay with just Sunday morning followers. He's never been okay with just wanting a couple of times a week with us. He's never just wanted like religious routines or just behavior modifications. He's literally been after all the affections of your heart. He's literally been after all the affections of my heart. It's why He sent Jesus, right? He sent Jesus. God's heart was torn when He gave His Son for us. Jesus' heart was torn on the cross when He went to the cross for us. There was a tearing of His heart. There was a tearing of all that had been. He came because He wanted us, and the Father wanted all of His kids back, not just in word, but He wanted the hearts of His kids back. That's why He says, tear your heart, not your garment. He says, I love you so deep, but I want all your heart. I don't want to share you with anyone else. Says, I gave it all so that you could actually give it all back to me. Guys, He's crazy for us. His desire for us is so intense. He loves you more than anyone here has ever comprehended. The truth is that the person in this room who has experienced, encountered the love of God the most, let's just say Ed Hirsch right here in the front row. Let's say Ed has had an encounter with the love of God and he has a revelation about the love of God more than any of the rest of us. Let's give Ed a hand for that. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. Let's say Ed is the most, like, he's the most in touch with the affections of God for him. I want to suggest to you today that if Ed is that and he has understood the love of God more than any of us, I'll tell you this, Ed is still in preschool. No, he's not in preschool. He's in kindergarten. No, he's still in diapers. Ed is in diapers. Don't imagine it. Won't be good. But he is literally... That's like how he is. He's like that young in understanding the affections of God for him. Man. The truth is that we're only going to be able to love God to the measure that we encounter how much He loves us. That even when we don't deserve it, he loves us. That even when we've done wrong, he still is calling us. And the more that we encounter his love for us, the more that we have capacity then to love him back. I've heard it said like this, it takes God to love God. And I believe it's true. He loved us first so we can love him back. And every single one of us in this room today was made to live in freedom of heart. Freedom of heart, with hearts that are turned and fully set on loving him with everything. Did you know that your heart was designed and was created to be completely unhindered and wholehearted for him? Your heart was created to live a life free from shame and free from guilt and confusion. Jesus made this possible, but sometimes when we live below our privilege for too long, we forget our privilege. Have you ever noticed that? That sometimes when we live below our privilege, we forget our privilege. Sometimes when our heart wanders long enough in half-hearted love, we forget how good wholehearted love really is. Maybe that's just for me. Sometimes when we live in half-hearted love long enough, we forget what real wholehearted love really feels like. Because we've wandered. Every single one of us was made for freedom of heart. And what does he say? He says, turn to me, rend your heart. And to rend means to tear something by force. There is a spiritual tearing of sorts in rending. There's a spiritual violence involved in this. And what this is saying is that sometimes you are going to have to forcefully deal with the matters of the heart that are not in agreement with me. There are moments where we are going to have to forcefully, spiritually, forcefully deal with the matters of our heart that are not in agreement with him, because loving God with all of our heart requires at times acts of spiritual violence. Do you know what I'm saying? Where I say, man, no, I will not continue in that. I'm going to turn my affections to him. It's a tearing away from areas of sin and areas of compromise, areas of darkness, in order to continue walking in a maturity and wholehearted love for him. Jesus spoke of this kind of radical tearing of a heart when he was addressing adultery and lust. In Matthew chapter 5, do you remember this one where he's like preaching the Sermon on the Mount? He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. Whew. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. I can only imagine the wide-eyed stares he must have gotten. I mean, can you imagine, like, the people are like, oh, that's a little radical. Jesus, that's a little crazy. Well, hey, guess what, guys? Jesus is radical. Following Jesus is radical. Of course, he's speaking symbolically, so don't go gouging your eye out or cutting your hand off if it causes you to sin. The point, though, that he was making is that there's going to be times that it's going to cost you greatly to choose me. There are going to be moments where it is going to actually cost you something that feels as severe as gouging your eye out to follow me. There are going to be moments that it costs you in such an intense way that it'll literally feel like you're cutting your hand off because you're choosing me above this or that. There are moments, church, and I cannot sugarcoat this for us. There are moments that are going to require radical tearing and turning from all that hinders our love for the Father. Don't ever believe the lie that following Jesus doesn't cost. It costs everything. It costs everything. Jesus was super clear about it. He said, anybody who does not give up everything cannot be my disciple. There are going to be moments when it will cost us greatly to love him with our whole heart. Wholehearted love costs something. There'll be times when you want to continue in some form of sin or compromise or dabble in this or dabble in that, but you're going to need to rend your heart, meaning like you're going to have to turn your affections, you're going to have to tear your heart away and turn to him, where you boldly choose love over that temptation. There's going to be moments where you have to say a radical no to something that he's said no to. There's going to be a moment where you're going to have to say a radical yes to something that he said yes to. And you're going to have to cut that thing off right where it's at. That might bring you some instant gratification or pleasure, but it ultimately is going to cause your heart to grow cold. It might hurt deeply in different moments in our life to tear our heart from it now for a short time, but church, it's going to be worth it. Do you believe that? And as we continue to choose him, as we continue to love him, you're going to actually want to continue to choose him, because you're going to find that it was your heart, that your heart was actually made to choose God. See, that's the thing. You're going to look back at moments and places of compromise later and say, yuck, what was I thinking? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to say, oh, I can't believe I was living in that or walking in that. That was such a life sucker. No. I don't want that. I want to choose love. As I was preparing for today and I was praying for you in this message, that I have no idea how it's hitting you today. I'm going to have to trust the Lord in this. But as we trust the Lord in everything, right? But as I was praying for you today, and I was just asking the Lord his heart for this moment today and what I would share, I saw as I was praying for you like a piece of a garment like this. And I saw this garment kind of like ripped like this. And it was like kind of tore a little bit. And I felt like what the Lord was saying is that it represented where some people have said, man, I love the Lord. I love the Lord, but I'm still going to be involved in this or that, or I'm still dabbling in this compromise or that compromise. But then you kind of turn away from it, but then you go back to it. So there was like a little tear. And then there was, you know, you'd come back and you'd say, oh God, I want more of you. I want more of you. And so you'd tear it a little bit more. And what I saw today in the spirit as I was praying for our time together, what I saw today was that people were going to step into a new place of freedom in wholehearted love, that as you fully tore your heart away from all that's hindering your love for him, your heart was going to open up to him and you were going to be fulfilled in the purpose that you were called to, which is to love him with all your heart. This is what I saw literally this morning was going to happen because of his word. I saw that. Not talking about in the flesh, talking about in the spirit, but that in the tearing of it, you were going to tear away from some things that have been hindering your love and literally making you miserable. Every issue of your heart that is not in agreement with him will leave you discouraged, downcast, and miserable. Oh, sure, for a moment it feels good, or there might be some level of pleasure, but ultimately it's not going to, because we were not created to live in compromise of any kind. Is this a hard word today? We were not created to live in compromise of any kind. We were made to live in wholehearted love for God, unhindered, because it's what our heart craves. Our heart was made to crave God. Whatever the issue might be that is hindering our love today, it could be any number of things. I don't even need to get into all of it, but it could be unforgiveness that's hindering your love and your passion for God. It could be criticalness. It could be offense. It could be bitterness. I don't know what it is. It could be lust of some form. It could be some form of addiction that has been causing your heart to be able to not be wholehearted in love for God. It could be toxic emotions. It could be the believing of lies about yourself, untruths about yourself. Sometimes what is hindering our love is just simply that Jesus has not been the priority and he's gotten snuffed out. All of these things and so many more, they cause our love to grow cold. But here's what I want you to remember. This is really important today. They don't hinder his love for us. They hinder our love for him. They don't hinder his love for us. They hinder our love for him. Whenever we walk in any form of sin or disobedience or compromise, if it continues and it is not confessed and repented of, meaning where it's not turned away from, where we don't go the other way from it, it causes our heart to shut down. And when our heart begins to shut down with shame and insecurity, then all of a sudden this distance begins to happen, and this disappointment begins to happen, and these cycles of disillusionment begin to happen. If we mess up, what so often is that we pull away, and instead of running to him, we run from him. When small compromises accumulate and they grow and they're not addressed, church, our love gets weaker, and then all kinds of messes happen in our lives. Sometimes it happens really quick and it's really obvious to pick up on, but sometimes it happens over time. And what I've seen happen is that we begin to think that it's him. We begin to think that he's mad. We begin to think he doesn't love us. He doesn't like us. But here's the truth, and I want to break off every lie this morning. He's always standing there with arms wide open saying, come on, come into the light. Come into the light. Come close and look into my eyes of love for you, and you're going to remember who you are so you can love me with your whole heart. And when you look at me and you encounter me and you put your weak love before me, there's no form of compromise or distraction that's going to compare to my face. There's no form of compromise or distraction or weakness that is going to compare to what it is to look in my face and see who you really are. And when you do this over and over, church, our love matures and it grows. And you'll not only love with all your heart, you'll find out actually who you really are and step into your truest identity. We were made for freedom, church. We were made for wholehearted love. Church, I believe the Lord is calling us in this moment today to tear our hearts completely and specifically from everything that is hindering our love. Here's what I want you to know. Wholehearted love comes out of wholehearted obedience. Wholehearted love comes out of wholehearted obedience. Listen to this. John 14:21, Jesus says this, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Verse 23, just a verse or two down. If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. I want to tell you, if we're trying to keep his commandments outside of first love, it will be a burden. But when we begin to walk in obedience out of first love, they are not burdensome, because we're doing it out of love. We're not doing it out of external. We're doing it out of a desire for a heart connect with him that is unlike any other thing on the planet. Wholehearted love is birthed out of wholehearted obedience. It isn't just our words saying we love him. It isn't just our clapping and our singing. That is all so good. It's really good. But the primary way that we know that we love him is through our obedience. Can I hear an amen this morning? Amen. Through keeping his word. We just read it. Proverbs 4:23. In the Passion Translation, it says this. It says, so above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellsprings of life. Above all, did you hear that? How powerful is this? Above all, guard the affections of your heart. I'd like to suggest to you today that to love the Lord with your whole heart, to be wholehearted lovers of God, is we're going to require, above all, a guarding of the affections of our heart. Because the affections of our heart, the things that we feel, the things that we give our emotions and our everything to, impacts all that we are. And as we pay attention to the welfare of our innermost being, it says life is gonna flow. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, why is the life not flowing? Say, why is my heart growing cold? God has moved away from me. He doesn't like me. He doesn't love me. No. I believe that most often when the life is not flowing and the heart is growing cold, it's because the heart has not been guarded. It's because the welfare of our innermost being has not been protected. And what we do in stewarding that place in our heart, that one place, determines the measure and the outcome of our lives. It's a pretty serious statement, isn't it? Let's say I let offense grow in my heart, and it grows and it's undealt with. It's going to impact many aspects of my life. Sure, at first it may not seem big, but if that thing gets rooted and planted in there, ultimately it's going to grow. Let's say I let offense grow towards someone, or I let offense grow even towards the Lord. That offense, if it's left to grow and not dealt with, is going to actually cause my love to grow cold. It's going to actually cause my love to get darkened a bit, where I'm going to stop seeing clearly. What a moment that we are in right now, church, to guard the affections of our heart. To guard the affections of our heart. And how we tend this place. Charity can come. I don't know where she's at. She can come. How we tend our heart right now determines who we're going to become in the future. The Hebrew definition of the word heart, it encompasses the entirety of our inner man. It's the seat of my mind. It's the seat of my imagination, my will, my desires, my emotions, my affections. What this is saying, I'm to guard the affections of my heart. I'm to guard the desires of my heart. I'm to guard the imagination of my heart. Here's the thing. All of us in this room have constant access to the manifest presence of God. Do you believe that? All of us do. Your heart was made to encounter His presence freely and completely. All day, every day, as much as we want. The blood of Jesus made a way for this. But here's what I want to tell you, and this is where I think we can miss it sometimes, because we just expect all these things to happen without posturing. We expect all these things to happen to us, these promises to happen without accessing them. How many know that to step into what God has made available, there is a positioning and a posturing of our heart? Saying, I don't know why I feel far from you, God. Or I don't know why this is happening or that is happening. Oh no, we have to step back and say, I have a part in this. There is His part and there is my part. And my response is, I'm going to put my heart before you. If it's cold, I'm not going to run from you. I'm going to run to you. And I'm going to say, would you burn in my heart again? Would you burn that first love in my heart again so I can walk out of love where your commandments are not burdensome anymore, but where my heart is burning again and my desire is for you completely again. But it requires a turning and it requires a returning. It is up to us to take advantage of this privilege. We get to choose. He allowed us to choose. He allows us to choose love. He doesn't force us to choose love. He says, you get to choose love. And we have a powerful yes, and we have a powerful no to what we allow to grow in our heart. I just say this even right now, to just be really practical in this moment. And this practicalness gets into literally into what I'm giving my time to. It gets into what I'm watching. It gets into how I'm spending my thought life, right? What I'm listening to, what I'm giving my affections and my emotions to. And it isn't just what I won't let in. It's equally what I do put in. If I want to be wholehearted in my love, it's going to take a daily diligence. Even if I don't feel it, I pursue Him. Come on, can I hear an amen on that? Even when I don't feel like getting up in the morning early to put Him first, I'm going to posture my heart, not because I have to, but because I want to grow my want to. I'm going to say, God, I'm going to come and I'm going to put myself before you. I'm going to not follow my feelings. I'm going to follow vision, and I'm going to say feelings follow the vision. And the vision is what Jesus told me. He said, love Him with your whole heart. I want to love Him with my whole heart. So I'm going to put myself before Him in the morning, and I'm going to put myself before Him in the afternoon, and I'm going to walk in a place of continual walking with Him, dwelling with Him till my heart is fully alive and I'm loving Him wholeheartedly. Come on. This isn't about legalism or works. Don't believe that for a second. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about here is vision. What I'm talking about here is a mindset, not a mindset of I have to. It's a mindset of I get to. I get to. I'm growing my want to until I want to want to. Can you say that? It's almost like a twister. I'm growing my want to till I want to want to. I'm growing it. I'm not doing any of this to earn love. The love has already been given. The arms are wide open. I'm positioning myself to step into all that he's made available for me. My cry for you, my cry for me, my family, your family, our church is make us wholehearted in our love for you. How many want to be wholehearted in your love for him? I mean, just, I don't even know what that means half the time, but I know that I want my whole heart to be his. Would you stand with me this morning? I believe today that there is a real significant thing going to happen here in a minute. We're going to take communion together because this is all ultimately about the blood of Jesus. But I believe that today there are those who, maybe you're watching online, maybe you're at home, maybe you're in the room today, that you have been far from the Lord. And today is a day of returning. Today is a day of returning. I believe that there are those in the room today that the Lord wants to wake your heart up where you turn to him with your whole heart so you can love him. Some of us have been in places that we don't want to be. We've been there long enough. Today is a day of turning from those places of compromise, those places of sin, those places of agreements with things that are against his heart. Today is a day of turning. And I actually believe today he already tore the veil. He already poured out his blood, but we get to agree with it by tearing our heart away from every form of compromise. Come on. How many want to do that today? If that's you, would you just lift your hands up before the Lord this morning? And I just want to pray over us. I'm asking God for a fire to burn in our hearts. Church, would you pray? If you pray in the Spirit, would you just pray out loud right now? I'm asking for a Holy Spirit burning fire in hearts today. I pray where places in our hearts have grown cold, that there would be a Holy Spirit awakening today. Where there have been places of compromise, in Jesus' name, I see a tearing and a turning happening today into a radical obedience of following Jesus. And there is going to be such joy and such happiness and such peace that's going to come because your heart was made to love him. Your heart was made to love him. Your heart was made to love him. And even right now, I believe Holy Spirit is in the room. You don't do this on your own. He literally is here today to walk with you and partner with you to deal radically with issues that have been hindering your love. Holy Spirit, I ask you that you would reveal anything that is hindering love. And in doing that, you would turn our gaze to the Father, to look in his eyes, in his arms that are wide open, that we could return to the Lord today in Jesus' name. I pray for a holy returning. I pray for a holy radical turning where we don't hide and we don't run from you, but we turn to you in Jesus' name. Charity's going to just sing this song. Just lift your hands and let's sing it with her real quick. We set a fire in our hearts, Lord.
Set a fire down.
Come on, sing it out loud.
That I can't contain, that I can't
a boldness
control.
Today.
I want more of you,
Holy Spirit fire. Set a fire in our hearts, God.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want
Come on, just lift that up. Set a fire.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
One more time.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Yeah, we're going to take communion together in this moment. It's a beautiful moment. You can take your mask off because you cannot eat and drink with the mask. And I want you to take that little piece of bread in that cup, and we're going to hold it right here. The blood and the body of Jesus was poured out so that nothing would hinder our love. That absolutely nothing would hinder our love. What he did on the cross, he did so that we would be completely wholehearted in love with him, and that everything in our lives would literally come out of that place. This is not routine. This is not external. This is a representation of living resurrection that we're holding here right now. So as we hold this bread, we remember what you did. We remember that it was for our love, for your love. It was so that we could have power to walk in holiness and righteousness and to love you wholehearted. Let's break this bread together and eat. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, you came to destroy every work of darkness. For this was the Son of God manifest to destroy the works of the evil one. Every work of the evil one, so that we could be blameless in your sight and found mature in our love. Let's raise this cup up right now. We plead the blood of Jesus over our lives. I thank you that through resurrection power today, that when we walk out of this place, that when we step out of this room, that we're going to step into a new place of a greater yes to you, of a greater love for you. And I thank you that, Holy Spirit, you are going to help us. The power in the blood of Jesus that was poured out is going to help us walk in righteousness, in obedience, in keeping the commands of the Lord. They will not be burdensome because they will be out of love. We thank you for your blood. We drink it together. Can we just give thanks right now? All over the room, let's just give him thanks. Come on, let's just lift up a shout of praise to the Lord even right now. Can we do it? Come on, just lift up thanksgiving right now. Come on, just let that thanksgiving just begin to just flow out of your heart this morning. We thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Come on, church, let's take a good minute. Could we just for a full 60 seconds just lift up thanksgiving all over the room today? We thank you and we praise you for your blood. We thank you and we praise you for freedom today. We thank you that all authority has been given to you. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb. We thank you that it purchased not just our salvation, it purchased our freedom in every way. And I see a room full of people that are going to walk in freedom. I see a room full of people that are going to walk in holiness and radical desire for Jesus, not in rules and regulations, but I see a room of people whose hearts are turned wholeheartedly to you. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. One more time, let's give him a shout of praise to end today. Come on. Praise the Lord. Come on. This is the good news. This is the gospel. It's the good news. Jesus loves you like crazy. The Father loves you. He's radically in love with you. We get to go out this week and encounter him and then just share the love everywhere we go. We love you so much. Give somebody some form of love that's appropriate before you leave today. God bless you.